I'm going to leave you with two words. Be the final two words for this summer. No goal.
He couldn't take the hit that we gave him, so he knocks our guy out of the lineup for probably weeks. That's a joke. I want him suspended. I want him fined. I'll come to the hearing. I haven't called the league once. I'll call him 10 times tomorrow.
You just got to play. There's no other answer to it. I mean, you're supposed to dump the puck in and stay out of the zone. No, we just wanted to play. The more they acted like idiots, the more we wanted to play.
Well, that's Lindy's opinion. I've seen his teams do the same thing, so he ought to not talk about that. That's it.
Tell Lindy, though.
We're going to the playoffs, and you're going to take out one of our best players because you couldn't take a hit? That's a joke.
You're right in there, Ezra. You're right between Roman's trying to get in there.
You've seen enough of this season as well.
I've seen enough of him that it's a joke.
To keep this quick, the Bills are playing right now.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Sabres, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Listen, Lindy, just a note from our end to him. Sal Capaccio and Matt Bovee did their podcast with Mike North, the VP of scheduling and VP of television, all that. I don't have his title right. I'm sorry about that. Anyway, Sal's posted that, and hope Lindy likes primetime games because the Bills are going to be in a lot of primetime games like they have been in the Josh Allen era. And Mike North basically saying, like, oh, yeah, that's not stopping. We're not taking our foot off the gas, is what he said. So if Lindy wants to watch Bills games, they can't be scheduled the same time as Sabres games. He's now the head coach of the Sabres. Joining us on the Western Hotline is Paul Hamilton. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're good, Paul. They did it. They did it. And, you know, I don't know how shocked anybody should be because of the way Kevin Adams approached the Don Granato news conference to announce they were going to fire Granato and get a new head coach. He laid out, basically, a picture of what the next head coach would be, and we knew Lindy Ruff was one of maybe five or six candidates on the short list, just based on that explanation, and here we go. He's the new coach.
Yeah, it was the first thing I thought of when after the explanation, and I also am not surprised it only took 6 days. It sounded like it was something that he was going to take on immediately. It didn't sound like it was going to be an extensive search or anything like that. And Lindy Ruff was the first name I thought of the way he was talking. So none of it really surprised me.
Yeah, especially since, I mean, Adams worked under Lindy, Paul, so he would obviously know or think he knows every bit of what he's getting as a head coach here.
Yeah, a lot of what would be in the interview process he already knows because he's been in coaching meetings. He's seen how Lindy Ruff coaches. Now, Lindy Ruff is a different coach now than he was back then. You know, because he's evolved. You know, the players are different. So he had to evolve with the players or he wasn't going to be coaching very long. So he's not totally the same guy that was here when, you know, before he got fired. But he basically knows what Lindy Ruff is about.
Mm-hmm. Is there any revisionist thinking here, Paul, at all? And maybe not, of whether, you know, Granato's job and him being fired maybe even came down to, like, they had Lindy specifically in mind. Because they're really, I mean, maybe we'll hear different at the news conference today. It just doesn't feel at all like there was any sort of search.
No, it doesn't feel like there was real. I think Gallant might have been talked to. I don't know if anybody else was. No, but I don't think one had anything to do with the other. I think Don Granato's going to be fired either way.
Yeah. So, Paul, you mentioned like Lindy has evolved and what he is as a coach. He back then, let's go back to the start of his career. What got him so many years with the Sabres? Because it's Darcy Regier and Lindy Ruff together for 16 seasons, basically, something we thought would, you know, you don't really see that often in pro sports. What was it about Lindy, other than, you know, having a great goaltender, which helps, that made the league notice him as a good to great coach because he got multiple jobs after leaving the Sabres? What defines a Lindy Ruff team?
Well, he was an assistant with the Florida Panthers before he got the job with the Sabres. That was back when the Rats were happening and Scott Mellenby and that group. So he, you know, he was one of those quote hot commodities as an assistant coach, and you know, they brought him in here, and you know, Darcy Regier wasn't a real well-known name when it came to, you know, general manager, but you know, they were a pair that they just got it. I mean, Darcy Regier would run things by Lindy. They were close. You know, they talked all the time, and you know, he was known – for whatever reason, as a defensive coach, but if you go back and look at some of those teams he coached here in Buffalo, they were right near the top of the league, some of them were, in scoring. It would just kind of depend who he had. And, you know, once he wound up with Briere and Drury and Vanek and that group, they could put the puck in the net, and there were times they were near the top of the league in scoring. So I think that was a little bit of a myth that he was a, quote, defensive coach.
Yeah.
He certainly, you know, his teams were responsible defensively, but he wasn't a all-out defensive coach.
Yeah. Am I right, Paul, in thinking that, like you mentioned, like they were first in the league in goals, like out of the lockout, at least the 07 year. I don't know about the year before. Am I right in thinking that he would adapt his style to whatever his strengths of his teams were? Because it felt like if it was Hasek or Miller, they would play a different style than when, you know, Breer and Drury were their best players.
Well, they guessed, and they guessed right, coming out of the lockout, how things were going to be. And teams like the Flyers that had the Hatchers of the world and all these slow guys, Rathje, they were in trouble. Because, coming out of the lockout, it was a lot of taking the clutching and grabbing out of the league. And those things were going to be called. And the Flyers couldn't play unless they could do that. They didn't have speed or anything like that. So, you know, Lindy Ruff and Darcy Bergeier were thinking, all right, if that's the way the NHL is going to call things, we better have a good, fast, offensive-type team to come back with. And they guessed right. And they, for a while, wasn't long because, you know, the NHL, I mean, they have to get back to, you know, the old guys network of they're having a stroke out there because, oh, no, there are actually going to be goals and skating and everything else. We can't have that. You know, we've got to have whatever it was back in the 70s and clutching and grabbing and, you know. So what if there's interference in the rule book? We're not going to call it. Of course you can cross-check somebody 15 times in front of the net. How else are you going to get them out of there? Even though cross-checking is illegal. And Craig Revay said to me, he goes, I wouldn't have been in the NHL if I couldn't have cross-checked, you know, type of a thing. So, they guessed right, and that was good for that particular team.
This particular team, Paul, is looking for accountability, maybe in a different way. Don Granato fired, and a lot of the messaging was about accountability, and maybe Granato feels like he did a certain level of that, but players have to hold themselves accountable or with each other. So for Lindy Ruff and that job, what does that mean? Who's that good news for in the Sabres locker room? Like, who do you expect to really thrive in a Lindy Ruff-led team?
Well, the players better have meant what they said and locker cleanout day, because buckle up, boys, you're getting it. And, you know, Lindy Ruff will. Now, the Lindy Ruff accountability that Kevin Adams saw when he was on Lindy Ruff's staff is going to be different. I mean, the players on that team used to tell me about the way he used to go after Thomas Vanek and Derek Roy. He would embarrass them in front of teammates, you know, but he would do it on purpose, thinking, you know, that's the type of motivation there. You don't want to be called out and embarrassed in front of your teammates. And so you're going to go out there and do the job and play better. And, you know, multiple guys from those teams used to tell me how he was just relentless on Vanek. And they'd never seen anything like it. Well, you can't be that way with players anymore. The players of today are a lot different than the players of when Thomas Vanek and Derek Roy were playing. So, you know, but still, you know, I don't think he's going to be afraid to call players out, knowing that's one of the reasons he got the job, because, you know, that's what this team needs. That's what these players ask for on locker cleanout day, and that's what they're going to get.
Right. And balancing that, Paul, with not only just today's NHL, but a young team in today's NHL, the Devils have been right there second youngest in the league to the Sabres for, I think, 3-4 years now. And I know not all those years were good for Lindy. But he's certainly, you know, he's fresh off experience of having to head coach a team that's very, very young.
Yeah, and I've never heard even whispers of the Devils' young players not liking the way Lindy Ruff treated them. Not at all. So, again, I think he treated Hughes and Hischier and the young players of that group a little bit differently than maybe what he did when he was a Sabres coach way back when. but that doesn't mean he's not holding them accountable for what's going on. There's just different ways of doing it. And, again, you don't have to stand there and embarrass somebody in front of the rest of the team. But still, it takes everybody, though. It can't just be Lindy Ruff. You know, that's what Tage Thompson said is exactly correct. They got to stop worrying about hurting each other's feelings and knowing that, hey, we can still, if somebody's not doing what they're supposed to be doing, we can still call him out and talk to him about it. And at the end of the day, still be friends when we walk out of the locker room.
Paul Hamilton joining us on the Wester Hotline. Paul, the other question I have, I mean, about how this new relationship works between Ruff and Kevin Adams, I mean, Kevin Adams would have worked for Lindy Ruff, and now Ruff works for Adams in a way. What I'm getting at is, can Lindy, with this credibility in the league, which I think he does bring, can he push Adams to do more? To say, "I'm okay, you gave me this job. I need a guy like this, or I need this guy out of here." Any one of those scenarios where maybe a coach of Lindy's caliber has a little bit more of a voice in that room. Not to be the GM, but why'd you bring me here, right? I mean, I want you to make sure you don't slow play this. The time to win is now. That's one thing he said in his statement already. The time to win is now. So can Lindy do any of that with Kevin Adams, you think?
Well, I think Don Granato had a voice. I mean, a lot of the players he coached in the U.S. program wound up Buffalo Sabres. And but that's because I think Adams wants the coach to have a voice. You know, if he's thinking of acquiring a player, he wants to go to the head coach and say, how would you use this player? What do you think of this player? How would he fit in what we're doing? And then make a decision on if he's going to get that player or not going to get that player based on many factors, what his staff says, what scouting staff says, what the analytics people say, what Don Granato said. So, yeah, I think he definitely will have a voice in it. And I'm sure when they were talking about this job, they went over the line because Lindy's very familiar with it. You know, Lindy, when he was the coach of the Devils, used to tell me how much he really liked the Sabres and what they have. He really liked their young players and what they have here. And you know, he felt that the Sabres are right on the cusp of being very good because of what they had here. And we talked about that more than once.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to the types of players, Paul, you think he might want? Like, maybe this was already headed this way, no matter who the coach was. But what do you think? Like, third-line center? Like, Skinner, too, will be a conversation here as well? Like, I don't know, Paul. Like, we could talk about him. Again, it doesn't have to be that Lindy is the sole reason for this. But I feel like yesterday I was thinking about him being bought out more than I have been maybe ever.
Yeah, and I'm not sure they will do that. I think it's the only solution right now. I think they have to move on from that. I think, you know, that ship has sailed. He's you know, up around 32 years old now, and nobody knows for sure if he has declined. You know, a lot of times for goal scorers, that's what happens. Not all the time, but a lot of the time. That they start declining at 30, 31, 32. And, you know, certainly you didn't get the 30, even close to the 30 goals that you normally would have got out of Skinner. But it just got to the point where they had to get him off that line. And Paterka stepped in there, and that line started going again when Paterka was there. And it was just so obvious. Matter of fact, Granato probably waited too long to get him off that line. And once he did, all of a sudden, Thompson was scoring goals at the same pace he was when he scored 47, you know, and the puck starts going in the net for him. And he seemed like he was a different player.
So, Paul, for the young guys, Paterka, Quinn, thinking about Owen Power, they have an off season of hearing stories from former Lindy players about what Lindy will be like. I mean, like, what do you think this experience will be like for the very young guys?
Well, they can talk to Alex Tuch, who didn't play for Lindy Ruff, but he certainly saw enough of Lindy Ruff coach teams. And you heard Alex Tuch speak also at locker cleanout day that, you know, he would love to play for Lindy Ruff. That would be like a dream come true for him because he was kind of his idol growing up, you know, watching Sabre teams. So the one I'm interested in is Rasmus Dahlin because – you know, he was really touted coming into the league as the next big thing, that he was going to be the one of the, if not the best defensemen in the National Hockey League. And right now, with hindsight, if you redid the draft, he wouldn't even be the first overall pick. Quinn Hughes would be the first overall pick by far. He was seventh overall in that draft, so six teams passed him by. And, of course, the Sabres did. I mean, I'm not blaming the Sabres because Darlene was the consensus number one, you know, coming on into that draft, that this is a generational difference maker. But as far as young defensemen go, he's not even in the same hemisphere as Quinn Hughes. He's not even in the same hemisphere as Makar. And I'll be very interested to see what Lindy Ruff does with Rasmus Dahlin. Not that Rasmus Dahlin is bad. He's not bad. I'm not saying that in the least. But I think there's a lot more there. And the question is, can Lindy Ruff unlock that?
There's no reason to think he wouldn't still be the captain, right, Paul?
I had my mind changed after locker cleanout day. I mean, you know, I've always talked about Dylan Cousins, but I don't think Dylan Cousins is ready right now. He's got to get his game straightened out, and I still think he needs to – there's more of a maturity that needs to be there. And, you know, I started coming around on Darlene because it was obvious the way Granato and Adams were pushing him, like he – every time Granato got to a microphone, we heard how great Darlene was, even if he wasn't. And that was to help his confidence, and it worked. I mean, Darlene really, hey, the coach has my back, and it really worked, you know, for that to happen. So, you know, it's, again, it'll be interesting to see if, you know, he can help Darlene get to the next level. And, of course, Owen Power, too.
Well, Paul, 1 o'clock today press conference. We're excited. I'm going to find out what they have to say about it all, and I don't know. It might be surreal, right? Walking in 11 years later, there's Lindy Ruff.
You ready for the Lindy Ruff show?
Yeah. It's going to be a lobby press conference, we think, Paul. Some of the big ones are out there.
That when they do these for whatever reason, maybe because there's more people and they can get more people in there and their media room can't handle it.
Yeah.
They do them in the – I've been to many – I think most of these hirings like this, whether it's a GM or a coach, have been out in the atrium.
Paul, you ask if we're ready for the Lindy Ruff show. I did send a message to Nicole of the Sabres and say, just so you know, it's a Tuesday at 8 a.m. That's usually our spot for the head coach. We can just, you know. But they've got a press conference today. I'm sure we'll talk to Lindy down the line. Thanks, Paul. We'll be listening today.
Take care, guys.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline on the hiring of, yeah, Lindy Ruff as head coach of the Buffalo Sabres.
It's weird. It's weird in a good way, but it's weird.
It's weird. Is it? How about this? It's weird that it's not that weird, and that's weird. I'm going to go with that.
It's weird that it's not that weird, and that's weird.
Because were you blindsided? We thought this was a potential idea.
Were we starting to fade it, though, a little bit?
A little bit. Yeah, you're probably right.
Like, the day he talked, when I was listening to Adams talk last Tuesday, during his press conference, I was saying out loud to myself, oh, it's going to be Lindy. He's right now, he is talking to us about Lindy. And then I thought, okay, maybe we could have been talking about Berube or maybe Brindamore or someone else. But no, during that press conference last Tuesday, which you all probably thought the same thing, he was talking about Lindy the whole time.
Yeah. We can ask, well, we can't. We can. Somebody can ask them. Today, 1 o'clock today. So we got to keep an eye on the schedule. Schedule challenges out in the NFL, whether you can like go and predict the Bills' schedule, and if you get it right, you win some stuff. The Broncos' new uniforms came out.
And did you like them?
No. They're
so much better.
They're an upgrade, but they're not great.
They could have done so much better. You know what they are? It's when the Sabres went from the slug to the navy, like, classic look. It was better.
Yes.
But you're not there yet.
You didn't do the thing you should have done.
You're not right.
Yep, that's fair. 803-0550 on the Sabres. If you want to join us on the Lindy Ruff hire, Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus, going to join us at 8. I saw something yesterday from Jason at Over the Cap, and I know you saw this too. If you are team trade up, you're going to need this. It's a little bit of a here's why we should do it. We'll explain when we get back on the salary cap, the implications, the position we talk about all the time, how it is, in fact, getting closer and closer to quarterback. That's next.